I guess the title, I don't want to offend anybody by this title, but I guess the best title would be in relation to professional wrestling, which is not really professional wrestling, but there used to be, yeah, surprise. There used to be a guy on there who said, "Know your role and shut your mouth." Well, the title of this is "Know Your Role and Don't Shut Your Mouth." See, there you go.
Didn't he say shut your hole?
No.
Know your role and shut your hole.
No.
Where did you work? No wonder.
Okay, so that's the title. Know your role and don't shut your mouth. If any of you can remember when you first became a Christian, when you first believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of the cross, it was exciting, right? It was new, it was fresh. It was exciting to know the love of Christ and to understand what He did for you, what He could do through you, and there was a zeal to share that with other people. And I've seen it throughout Christianity and in churches that as you progress in your salvation, in your Christian walk, you tend to become somewhat complacent, right? You tend to get happy with where you're at, your church building, the people that are there. When someone leaves that church, someone leaves that building, that assembly, it's almost like a crushing blow. And it's some people take it personally. And how could they do this? And so you tend to get bogged down with the whys of membership. Or you tend to get bogged down with just the work that goes into it. And you slowly start pulling away. You're still present, but you slowly start pulling away. And again, I've seen it in churches where all you're doing is you're showing up on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, a Tuesday night, whatever it is. And even though you're present, you're not present. You're there, but you're not necessarily an effective member. And I use that word member, and you'll understand why here in a second. Before you come to the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, the body of Christ that was given to Paul, you stay in your place, you know your role, and you shut your mouth. Because that's what you're taught to do, right? Last week we talked about whether we should be sheep or should be soldiers. Going through that, we understood that yes, we should be soldiers, we should be warriors, we should be ambassadors for Christ. But before you come to that knowledge, you're taught to know your role and shut your mouth. Now, it's okay to preach the gospel, but when you come into this building, it's whoever's up here, it's their job, right? But in truth, it's everyone's job to share the truth, the knowledge of Christ, right? Amen. And I know that both of you are young over here, but if you listen to what I'm saying, it'll help you in your ministry to understand what some of the others have gone through and how you can be effective ambassadors for Christ. So I want you to keep that in mind. Even though you may not have gone through or you may not have the baggage that comes from that scenario, it'll help you understand where others are. So keep that in mind. So we have somewhat of a glow about us. When we first come to the truth, we tend to get bogged down, and it tends to diminish. right, that zeal diminishes. We stay in our place, we stay in our lane, we know what our ministry in that building is. Whether it's being a door greeter. You can be a door greeter, but that's where we want you to stay, right? That's, we want you to know your role, and please be quiet. So how can we break out of that? Because I think in ministry, there's a place that we need to be, which is to study, obviously. But when we study, we can be more effective ministers, ambassadors for grace. So let's look at Acts 28 and 24. Let's take a look at a scenario where someone did not know the message, a new revelation. Acts 18, 24. Let's take a look at this. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. He knew what he was talking about when it came to the Bible. Right? 1824. Acts 1824. He was an eloquent man. He could talk your socks off. He could do it with charm, right? He was an eloquent man, a mighty man in the scriptures. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of who? Of John. He's preaching John the Baptist. Be baptized, be saved, right? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue where all the Jews are at. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now what it doesn't say is they berated him in front of everybody. They let him finish, right? So when he was done, they pulled him off to the side and said, "Hey, we got some really good news for you. There's a better way, something more perfect that we'd like to teach you about God." They didn't fight with him. They didn't argue with him. They pulled him aside, and they spoke with him one-on-one, face-to-face, in a calm way, right? They knew their role, but they didn't shut their mouth. Thankfully, we can say that about others who have taught us. And the fact that we can study our Bible and understand it more clearly, we have a greater faith because of that. Not of our own accord, but because someone was faithful in what they had learned and didn't keep their mouth shut. Amen. Steve said something about that this morning. It was like a recharge. It's like a battery charge. And that, man, that lights that fire again, right? You have that zeal, you have that excitement. I know something, and it all makes sense now. It's clicking. I don't have to pull from one area of the Bible to try to meet my circumstance that's going on right now. I don't have to try to take a promise that was given to the Jews or a law and pull that over to me and apply and try to apply it. But when that promise doesn't work out, well, maybe that's just God's will for my life. No, I know what God's will is for my life. Because I can read it in here. And when we get to that point, we want to share that knowledge and we want to share that information. And we want to pull people aside And when they don't hear it and they don't understand it, we start to get frustrated. That was spoken on of today. And then we get mad. But we still have that zeal, we still have that excitement. Right? And we tend to start to get bogged down a little bit. We tend to get complacent. And it's like a cycle. We're going back through that cycle where you have zeal, you have excitement. You get bogged down. You get bogged down. And you just start to stay in your spot and you stay in your lane. And instead of speaking up, you tend to be silent. We want to be able to help people. In Ephesians 3:9, we can understand why. Because when we get excited, we want to share that with others, right? We want to share a better understanding of Christ. Something that's more perfect, more precise. A better understanding of the gospel. A better understanding of doctrine. So in Ephesians 3:9, we understand why we want to do that. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There's fellowship there. You can build each other up. You can recharge your batteries in that fellowship. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It hadn't been known. And there's a lot of people today that still don't know. As we go along in our life, we, being ambassadors for Christ, understanding a mystery which was kept secret from the world began, and when it finally clicks and we get up, hit upside the head with a 2x4, and it's like a light bulb goes off, and you're like, oh my goodness, it was there this whole time. Why didn't I see it? How many times do you read the Bible? It's like, wow, now I can understand why that's there, what it's there for, if it's for me, or if it's for a future event, or a future person, or future people. So we come across in our lives something that may tend to slow us down a little bit in our walk, in our ability to deal. Something that slows down or hinders our zeal. And I've watched others, and I've done it myself. I caught myself doing it this week. I caught myself doing it last Sunday. And as you see the things that maybe are not, maybe you're not being so effective because of the way something comes across, or the inflection in your voice when you're trying to teach or tell somebody about a way that's more perfect for them. An understanding of the Bible that's more precise. And when you see those things and you're like, man, why didn't I bring it across a little bit, maybe not softer, but a little bit more in love? And why did I have to use that term or that phrase? Why wasn't I a little bit, why didn't I do that better? So when we try to do those things, we see that after understanding right division, we see that we learn from ways that we can do it better. Just like Priscilla and Aquila, right? They pulled him aside. They didn't berate him in front of everybody. But they talked to him face to face. In love, right? Paul says that all the time. In love. Grace and peace. In love. Unfortunately, it doesn't always go that way. So I try to use day-to-day things. For me, I try to keep it relatable for myself, and I try to keep it relatable when I'm talking to others. That's the best way for me to not only understand the Bible, but to maybe help someone else understand. So as I was going through one day, I was getting dressed to pull a t-shirt out of my drawer. I see a t-shirt, a simple t-shirt. And it's a Marvel Superheroes. And it's a silly comic, okay? And so you have these Marvel superheroes that are all on this t-shirt. And again, just like a 2x4 hit me upside the head. And so there's, I don't know how many, there's the 4 or 5 that I remember. There's the Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, Wolverine, Captain America, Spider-Man. I think that's all of them that were on there. So something as simple as a silly shirt that has Marvel Comics, and you may not know who those are, you may. And I think I might have all the colors for them, too. The Hulk. He's my favorite. You got Iron Man. Now, ladies, I already know this. Wolverine is your favorite. Right? Hugh Jackman? Oh, that was gone. Help me out. Wolverine. That's right. There's Wolverine. I gotta have blue for Captain America. Cap. Where's red? Well, I already used red for, well, he's Spider-Man. Yep, everybody's singing that tune in their head, aren't they? Thor, I don't know if you're gonna be able to see yellow, but Thor, we'll put him up. There we go. Not too many know who Thor is. Supposedly the god of lightning. Right? Yeah. So what are some of the character traits of these wonderful men? The biggest one I can think of in Hulk is anger. Hulk smash. Iron Man, well, we all know he's a narcissist. Close enough. Wolverine has quite a bit of anger, too. Don't get him mad. He's pretty calm, normally, but don't get him mad, right? Cutting, we'll say cutting. Cutting anger. Captain America. He's a hero. He's gonna save everybody. Spider-Man's easy. What does he do?
Webmaster.
He's the IT guy. Right? So something as silly as this smacks me upside the head with a 2x4. And when we start to get frustrated, we start to get angry in our understanding of the body of Christ, the mystery of the body of Christ. Sometimes we start to take on these personalities. Maybe not all of them, maybe all of them. Maybe it depends on who we're talking to. Thor, I forgot to put his up there. He's going to smash you with a hammer upside the head. He's even got a name for it. I think it's Mjolnir for his hammer. Something like that. He's going to... Sorry about that. Don't get too close. You might not be able to see that. That's okay. He's going to smash you in the head. I don't have a lady superhero up here, although there are some. My wife requested Wonder Woman. I'm a guy, what can I say? Have you ever come across in the history of talking to somebody taking on one of these traits? Yeah. And that's not the right way to respond to brothers and sisters in Christ. I've done it. We've all done it. We get anger. We get angry. And we're going to smash you upside the head. We do more damage than help, right? That's what he is. He's a beast. He's a brute. He goes in and he just starts smashing things around. Destroys everything. Destroys relationships. Destroys a friendship. Destroys the ability to even talk to that person anymore. Sometimes forever, sometimes for years. But that's what happens, right? Iron Man, puffed up in his knowledge and understanding. I know more than you. I can do it better than you. I have a better understanding than you. Wolverine gets angry, starts cutting, starts saying hurting words. Maybe not physically, but starts cutting and slashing. Captain America, I'm going to save you from your situation. I'm going to save you from your lack of understanding. I'm the hero. Spider-Man, I'm going to start throwing a whole bunch of stuff at you and get you caught up in this web. And you're creating a bigger problem, right? You're creating something that they're not going to be able to get out of. Thor, we'll just leave him alone. There's enough here on the board. You can't see him anyways. Thor's kind of like Hulk. He's a combination of Hulk and Captain America. He's going to smash you in the head, but he's going to save you at the same time. Yeah, interesting, huh? So when we're talking to other people who don't have the knowledge of the mystery of the body of Christ, we tend to use these personality traits. And this is not how we should be responding to people. But the first thing up here, know your role. Don't keep silent. Now you may have to keep silent in that situation, just like Priscilla and Aquila. They kept silent and let him speak. But they pulled him off to the side. I said, let's talk about this. You can have an understanding of God and Christ and what he's doing, a more precise understanding, more perfect knowledge of the wisdom of God, right? Because we don't want to embarrass somebody. It shouldn't be a direct challenge. And I caught myself doing that this week. I caught myself trying to be Spider-Man. Myself trying to be a superhero. And even though we want to be warriors and ambassadors for Christ, we're supposed to put on that armor. You need to be a right divider of God's word. But what is that purpose? If we're telling somebody, okay, I have seen that you have, I see that you don't know the mystery of Christ. We're talking with somebody about that. We say, hold on right there. I'll be right back. And we go over to the bathroom. We wash our face. Get ready for a fight, right? We pump ourselves up. Okay, this is it. Which superhero am I going to be today? But that's not how we're supposed to act. Do we pump ourselves up for a fight? Well, we need to understand that we are not speaking. If we're speaking with another believer in Christ and we understand that they know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, what we need to understand is we're not talking with an enemy. Right?
Amen.
We don't have to be a superhero and use damaging traits to try to beat them down, to try to subdue them, to try to spin webs for them, to try to get them caught up in their own or lack of understanding of the mystery that was revealed to Paul. We can know our role in the fact that maybe we're not speaking to our enemy. According to Ephesians 6:12, we know what the enemy is. Right? Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You don't have to wrestle and fight with a fellow believer in Christ, even if they're not exactly rightly dividing. And we get in fights, don't we? We are supposed to be warriors for Christ, soldiers for Christ, ambassadors, but we have to know who our enemy is, and we have to keep it in our mind. Let's take a look at Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7, a few pages to the right there. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Our directive should be towards the excellency of Christ Jesus. Not for our excellency, like Iron Man. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win the argument. No. That I may win Christ. The knowledge of the mystery of Paul can help people gain a better understanding of the wisdom of God and what was revealed to Paul, what was revealed to the Israelites, what was revealed way back to Adam, Abraham. Adam, Noah, Abraham. The law and the prophets. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right division. Right? That can help your understanding. We should be using that as a tool, not a weapon. We should be using that to help others to see Christ, not to see us and how much we know and how much knowledge we have. It's a more perfect way of understanding. It's a more precise way to understand your Bible. Let's look at Romans 16:25. Back to your left. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to Peter's gospel. No. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to the promises given to Noah? No. No. According to my gospel, this is Paul talking here, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, and a lot today too, huh? A lot in Christian churches these days. It's kept secret. Because you're supposed to know your role and keep your mouth closed. Stay in your lane. But that's not what our Bible says, is it? In 1 Corinthians 2, 5 through 8, we can see what we are supposed to do with that. What should we be doing with the revelation of the mystery? Paul's gospel. 1 Corinthians 2, 5 through 8. That your faith should not stand in the guy standing up here at the pulpit talking. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world began, before the world unto our glory. Why? In verse 8, we have a better understanding of this. Because, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, we wouldn't even have our gospel today. Because they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And we would all still be lost and going to hell. Right? Right division of our Bible and understanding the mystery that was given to Paul can be a tool. We don't worship the tool. We worship Christ crucified. Right? We don't worship Paul. We worship the message, the revelation that was given to Paul through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. Because that's the more excellent way. In my line of work, I deal with mostly tooling. How tooling can be used to produce an automotive part. There are tools that make more tools that produce a better part. You use a tool to make a tool, to make another tool, to make a part. Same way your Bible can be used to... Same way right division can be used to understand your Bible. It can give you a better understanding of it. And sometimes if you don't have the right tool, it can make the job really difficult, right? I like to work on cars, too. I can't say I love it, but I enjoy it. I like taking a new part and putting it on my old car and it running correctly again. Yesterday, I was working on two of my vehicles, and I put shocks and struts all the way around one, and I put shocks on another one. And I was in a position where I couldn't use a tool that I needed to because of the way I had to get behind something, and so I couldn't use that tool that I had. And so I had to go get the impact gun. Wonderful tool. And after I got done, I changed it out really quick. My wife says, why don't you use that tool all the time? She's a genius. Light bulb, right? Same thing happens when you come to the understanding of the knowledge and the mystery of Christ, the body of Christ. The revelation that was given to Paul, his gospel, made things a lot easier. But we shouldn't try to beat somebody over the head with a hammer to get them to understand it. It can be used as a tool and it will grow your faith in what God has done prior to Paul, what God is doing today, and what God will do in the future. We all need to remember that our goal is to preach Christ. We get clarity from right division. But with clarity, what do we need with clarity? What does clarity bring? It brings a focus, right? It brings a focus of the Bible, the will of God for your life, for my life, that will help connect the dots that you've been collecting. We can get that clarity, but what should our focus be when speaking to our friends and family that don't know the truth yet? Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 1, 25 and 28. 1, 25 through 28. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill every word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from the generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's our hope. That's what we should be sharing. We shouldn't be sharing this message because we want to make ourselves look good. We shouldn't be sharing this message because we get angry and frustrated and we start cutting people down. We don't have to be the hero and save everyone. We don't have to start spinning webs to try to get people caught up in them. And we definitely don't want to be this guy who just destroys everything in his path. After remembering what I had done, what I had said this past week, I challenged myself to try to do a better job and not to be any of these, but to be the one superhero that we all should be striving to be like. That's Christ Jesus, right? That's our hope in glory. That's the message we should be preaching. We shouldn't be preaching how much we know, how much more we know, that you don't have an understanding of this yet. Why can't you just get it? Why can't you just rather divide? Preach Christ. And in doing so, maybe we can be better ambassadors. Maybe we can understand who our enemy is and stop fighting fellow believers, right? In love, admonishing those that oppose themselves. Maybe we can start sharing the message of love through grace and peace ourselves and stop pounding somebody on the head. Because why? Let's look at 1 Timothy 2:4. Let's just start at verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Number 4, what's the purpose? What's God's purpose? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? They got to be saved first and then come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? See souls saved and then saints edified, just like he said earlier. That's our goal. That is all I have today. Any questions, comments? Stephen?